Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Mularkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 1230 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, the rainy Tuesday edition. And we've had a lot of rain this summer, on again, off again. It's the first time we've had significant downpours, though. And believe me, even though it's not raining in the Butler area right now, we've got more to come. A lot more to come later on today and tonight. And tomorrow. So we just grin and bear it, you know, keep the umbrella handy. A couple of rainy days. It looks great, long-range forecast starting on Thursday and maybe even through the weekend. So hang on. We're going to be talking in just a few minutes with Dr. Dennis Damon, a veterinarian. It's an Ask the Veterinarian Day. A little bit later on the program today, and this should be interesting. Do you have some dead spots in your home with regard to Wi-Fi? Many folks, most folks I would suspect now, have a router so that they can pass the internet signals wirelessly to different devices, whether it's a laptop or a tablet or a smart TV, whatever. Do you have dead spots in your home where you can't seem to get the Wi-Fi signal? Bathroom? Second or third floor bedroom, maybe. Basement. Yeah. A lot of folks have the basement converted to a family room or something like that. Well, we'll talk about dead spots in the home with your Wi-Fi and how to correct that. I mean, do you have to get a more powerful router or what's the deal? We'll be talking with the Jeffrey Parker a little bit later today. He's known as the Wi-Fi guru, so he should have the answers for us. He's got over 40 patents covering various innovations in wireless technology, so he should know. Jeff Parker will be with us a little bit later on the program today. And also today we're going to be talking with writer David Moffat about his novel, The Miss Birth. The Miss Birth. So that's coming up later on the program today. Couple of program notes for you. Tomorrow, we're scheduled to talk with the director of VA Butler Healthcare and also with some other administrators and department heads at VA Butler. Also tomorrow, we're planning to chat with our colleague here at Butler Radio, Tyler Friel. Ty is going to be one of the participants in the vintage baseball game coming up this weekend at Kelly Automotive Park, Saturday evening. It's a fundraiser for the ballpark and for the Butler County Historical Society. So we had some questions yesterday from listeners about, you know, what were the differences in the rules of baseball back in the late 1800s? What were the differences in equipment? So we'll talk with Ty about that. And they've got the old-time uniforms and everything. Ty participated, and I had this once before, I don't know, a couple of years ago, something like that. And Ty participated, and he's a pretty good baseball player. So anyway, he's scheduled to be with us tomorrow. Later this week, we'll chat with Dr. Brian White. Dr. White is the superintendent of schools in the Butler Area School District, getting ready to start a new school year. Butler starts next week sometime. Middle of next week, I'm not sure the exact date, but sometime next week. By the way, the first school district in our area to open up is going to be Slippery Rock area, and they open tomorrow, I think, first day of classes. Boy, it gets earlier and earlier for some school districts, does it not? Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk about that on Thursday with Dr. Brian White. Also later this week, City Hall. Butler City Council will be meeting on Thursday of this week, and on Friday we'll have guests from city government with us. And Larry Stock is going to stop in on Friday as well. He'll give us the first look at the upcoming season of performing arts at Suckup Theater on the BC3 campus, the cultural center there. They always bring in some great performers, whether it's dancers or musicians or sometimes touring play companies. Great stuff. So we'll find out what the lineup is for this coming school year from Larry Stock. He'll be with us on Friday. And the school year getting underway for colleges and universities this Friday, I think it is, that students start moving in at Slippery Rock University, and they'll be gearing up for the start of their classes. So those are just a few program notes for you. Coming up on the program later this week. Oh, and one final program note before we start talking with our guest, Dr. Dennis Damon. And one final program note, we have Pirate Baseball for you tonight, with the Pirates trying to recover from still another one-run loss last night at the hands of the Atlanta Braves. Game time, weather permitting, and that is a little bit of a question mark, given the rain. Airtime 6:40 for Pirate warm-up tonight here on WISR. Okay, it's an Ask the Veterinarian Day. Dr. Dennis Damon is with us here in the studio. Dr. Damon, good to see you as always, my friend.
Fine. It's kind of a blistery day out there.
Yeah, it's we've had quite a bit of rain here and there, haven't we?
Yeah.
I'm going to move that microphone just a little bit closer to you. That's a little better. There we go. Well, nice to have you with us here on the program today. A couple of questions. By the way, we open up the phone lines. If you have questions or concerns about your pets, you can give us a buzz at 283-2525. We'll try to answer those questions as best we can. 283-2525. I've been seeing over the past couple of weeks some stories about rabies being on the increase.
Yep.
Have you noticed that in your practice, Dr. Damon?
No, not. We haven't had an incidence of rabies. Pittsburgh and down in West Virginia and in those areas, I think there was a fox chasing.
That's the last one I saw, yeah, down in the Pittsburgh area. And it was a story about a raccoon, too. Those are animals that typically carry rabies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to stay leery of them because you don't want to handle or go near any foxes, raccoons, because they definitely sequester the rabies virus.
And, of course, the concern with our pets, dogs in particular, if they're roaming around in the backyard or in the woods behind the house, they can sometimes come in contact with these animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, people will try to deal with them and things, and they get bit, and now they've got to go through that rabies exposure protocol.
Now, if your dog is out, even if they get scratched, right, mm-hmm. you can pass it on.
Right. Any blood that is drawn has the potential of getting rabies.
So be careful of your pets and your animals. Probably not a good idea to let them roam free in the woods anyway, is it?
Nope.
Keep them in the backyard. Anything else we should know about? I know ticks have always been a problem for the past couple of years, and they continue to be, right?
They continue to be, and there's some new scuttlebutt that the Lyme's that was treated with human beings back in 4, 5, 6 years ago with the antibiotics and things didn't do its job, and the people have now reoccurrence of Lyme's. And they have to go back through the treatment modal. And the antibiotic is not an easy on the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are changing. They're trying to get a standard protocol to know exactly what the total time that the treatment is, because some practitioners use 10 weeks or 10 days, 2 weeks, and 30 days. And
now, are we talking about for animals or for people?
For people.
For people. Okay.
That was the most recent thing that was on TV on Limes. We, in the animal side, treat for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And then run titers on the animal about 6 months later and try to see if the titer has dropped in them. If it's dropping, we've successfully treated the Lyme disease.
Now, of course, for animals, unfortunately not for humans, but for animals, there is a there's a shot, there's a vaccine you can mm-hmm. get for your dog that will prevent them from getting Lyme, right?
That's correct. And they're working on it for people, but they just haven't perfected the immunization and things to the degree that it'll protect you.
Do you find more and more of your clients asking for the shots for their dogs?
Yeah, because of the fact that they get loose and travel and get into the woods and things like that, that these animals expose themselves, and then definitely it's cheaper to get them vaccinated than it is to wait until they get the disease and then try to treat it.
Is this vaccine pretty effective?
Yep. In animal side, yeah. I've seen it very, very successful.
Mm-hmm. Is it expensive?
Excuse me. It's $25 a shot. Two shots are necessary. An initial shot and then
it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not too bad.
Nope.
For protection for your dog. Ask the veterinarian. If you have questions, feel free to join us, 283-2525, 283-2525. We are nearing the end of the really, really hot weather season, but always a concern. I saw another story in the news just a couple of weeks ago where a dog died, having been left in a car, and tragically, this was a police dog. I forget what state it was in, but... officer thought he'd be okay. It doesn't take very long, does
nope,
it?
Nope. 10 minutes.
Wow.
And sometimes that 10 minutes develops into 20 minutes. You just forget that how fast time goes by.
Mm-hmm. So why is it particularly dangerous for dogs? They don't sweat, right?
No, they don't. And then they raise their body temperature. And then they pant in order to control the temperature in their body.
So they get rid of heat through their tongue?
Yes.
Wow.
And so consequently, if the temperature in the car is, say, 110, mm-hmm. and the temperature outside is 90, when they pant, they try to kind of cool themselves down, but they keep taking the air in the car. That's the 110, 120 degree temperature. And there's no ventilation or anything, so consequently the animal temperature rises in the brain, and it only takes 106 to 107 temperature over a period of about 8 minutes, and you've can have a seriously jeopardized dog.
You almost wonder whether it's worth it or not to take your dog with you when you're going out on errands in the summertime. I mean, why risk it, you know? Or do some dogs enjoy this? I don't know.
Some dogs enjoy it, but you can take them out, but pick the days you go out. I mean, a blistery, hot day that's 90 degrees, I would say he's safe at home. But when it's in the 80s and 70s, he can go and travel. So you don't mm-hmm. risk his life as much at the lower temperatures as you do at the upper temperatures.
Dr. Dennis Damon is with us. His practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive, which is about, 4 or 5 miles south of Butler. It's not very far.
Yep. Down from the Picklegate Bridge, it's about approximately 5 miles.
Mm-hmm. If you're going from Butler south on Route 8, as soon as you pass all the car dealers, start looking on the left-hand side because you're getting pretty close to it there,
mm-hmm.
right at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. It's an Ask the Veterinarian Day, and we'll be back in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're located just off Newcastle Road, 140 Shockey Lane. That's in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, and it's right behind the Kings and Villa Grande restaurants. Very easy to find. We'll give you a phone number in a moment if you want more information on their services. What do? They package your items for shipping. They do all that for you, so you don't have to worry about finding the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or any of that. Just take it up there, and they'll do it. You can ship any way you want, U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, that's your choice. They'll handle it for you. By the way, they have some other services, too. You get copying done up there, scanning, faxing, rent a temporary mailbox. They have greeting cards, even an official notary if there are items that need notarized before they get sent out. Oh, yes, and local honey, too. They're open Monday through Friday. Phone them at 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Just off Newcastle Road, behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. Going Postal Butler. It's Ask the Veterinarian today. Anything else new from the veterinary pages, Dr. Damon, that we should alert our listeners to?
Nothing in the near future right now is boiling, other than just the constant rabies and Lyme's disease, which plays havoc all the time on our animals. But nothing objectively in the surgical field that's been phenomenal.
What about a series of shots that everyone needs to get for their dogs? When can you start getting these shots? When they're little puppies?
They should be started out when they're around 8 to 10 weeks of age, to bring the puppy in and get its exam and everything and make sure it's worm-free, make sure that there's nothing ailing or any congenital disorders or anything like that that are present. And start him on his immunizations, and they get immunized generally with three shots if they start off at around eight to 10 weeks of age. If they come in around 12 weeks of age, it's a series of two shots because they're getting older and they don't need that initial shot.
What are we vaccinating for with these shots?
Distemper, hepatitis, Lepto comes at 12 weeks or older, and rabies at 12 weeks or older, and Lyme's. And we start them out on Lyme shots at around 8 weeks of age, and we test them and make sure that they're negative before we start so that we know that the dog has no exposure whatsoever to the tick through either the placental barrier of the female or being bit by a tick.
What's distemper, by the way? Is that just a dog disease?
It's a disease of the central nervous system. It's carried by most wolves, raccoons, foxes. That's where they sort of the bed is. As to exposure. What you want to do is make sure your dog gets immunized against these things so that he follows through a proper immunization series. Once he gets past 16 weeks of age, he's generally permanently vaccinated for 1 year, and then the vaccines are given every year.
Okay, so you got to get these shots every year. I didn't realize that.
Except rabies, and rabies is a three-year vaccine. Once you have two in a row, and once you get through your immunizations of your distemper virus, they become every 3 years.
Let's take a call. It's Ask the Veterinarian. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Hi, caller. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I had a question. Sadly, last weekend, we put our dog down. She was diagnosed with spleen and liver cancer. And she was a pit bull. The week prior, another one of our friends had to do the same thing with her pit bull. Is that a common disease in pit bulls, or?
Well, it depends on what the disease was. Pit bulls are common to have what's called babesiosis, which is a bloodborne disease. Cancers of the spleen are sort of rare, but they can happen, and you can. I've known rare cancers, and have three or four of them in 1 week. You know, and it's just uncommon. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you should. They should be checked out, and especially pit bulls for heartworm disease, Lyme disease, and babesiosis.
Did you say this was a neighbor or a friend who had a pit
bull?
Well,
it was a friend. Ours was put down last weekend, but a friend of ours was diagnosed probably under 6 weeks ago. They opted for surgery, which might have prolonged the dog's life a couple of weeks. But I just thought it was very odd that, like, two cancers or two spleen cancers in two pit bulls.
Yeah.
They're not even, they live in Pittsburgh or whatever.
Yeah. Would you recognize it would have been hemangioma or hemangiosarcoma?
The friend, yes. They said it was very rare. Our dog was pretty far progressed. They said she was full of tumors in her spleen and liver, and that there was basically nothing more that can be done. So I don't even think they typed the cancer, which is okay with me. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So
you think you might...
our case, she just said that it was full of round cells, and round cells tend to be very, very aggressive. They just explode in the bloodstream. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you might get another pit bull collar?
Oh, yeah. Well, if we get another dog, it definitely will be a pit bull.
All right.
They have a bad name for themselves, but they make excellent pets for your families. They're very dedicated to you as an individual.
Yes. Well, she was very dedicated to, it's just my husband and I, and she was a very good girl. She was so loving and pack-oriented, if you want to say. Mm-hmm. She was the greatest, so definitely, you know, it would be in the cards to get another pit bull.
Yeah.
Actually, I probably wouldn't think about anything else.
they're a progeny of how you raise them. So,
yes.
if they're raised wrong, then you're going to have problems with them. And
yeah.
If they're raised right, and
right.
you provide them with tender love and care, they respond 10 times fold.
I agree. It is such a loss in our home. It is so very quiet without her, and she was just a loving, loving girl. And, this actually came on pretty quick. When we took her to the emergency vet, was our first indication that something was definitely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She never quit eating. She never viewed any signs of pain. Nothing.
That's generally typical of what I experience and most
really?
Veterinarians experience. With cancers, by the time you get to see them or get to know that they're present, they're well advanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the dog has the capability of dealing with these problems outside the human being. We were more pain-tolerant than what animals are, so the animal can take a lot of pain and not exhibit
sad.
It, but you, when you don't feel good and things, you know, you voice your opinion, but
right,
animals, when they don't feel good, they are actually exhibiting something that could be long-term coming into the picture.
Yeah. Well, our vet said, you know, it is well advanced, and there's really nothing that you could do for her, no matter how amount of money you have to spend.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you could do for her now.
Oh, gosh, we're sorry for the loss of your pet.
Gosh.
Good to talk with you today. Good
Thank
questions.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
283-2525 is our number. Ask the veterinarian, 283-2525. The loss of a beloved pet, I guess people that don't have pets might not realize just how significant that can be to a person or to a family. You could hear in that caller's voice there the loss that they suffered with the death of their dog.
They generally don't have any children, or their children are grown up and gone, and so they take and adopt or get a dog, and it becomes a family member. Veterinary medicine has changed in the last 30 years on things that we can do simply because the human population has changed their opinion because it used to be you just had put the dog out in the back 40 and fed it and it was there. But now it's part of the family. It's part of the home. They keep it in the home. They buy tons of toys and whatever for their pet, make sure that they're taken care of and things.
We're talking with Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian. His practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic. Questions, comments, feel free to join us at 283-2525, 283-2525. It's kind of funny you mentioned, I know when I was a kid, and I was grew up in a small town, and most folks who had dogs, it was just that. They had a dog house, you know, out in back of their lot, their property, and that's where the dog was. Mm-hmm. There were very few dogs who, you know, were in the house all the time.
That's very correct. And and the thinking of people has changed, too, just like the new generations and things think differently than what we did back in when we grew up. So,
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with having a dog in the house. That's a wonderful thing, but you've got some other stuff to worry about if that's the case, and you're certainly going to have to make sure that the shots are up to date and that you, you know, visit visit the veterinarian on a regular basis. Have you heard about the new movie Alpha with the
Wolf?
Yeah, it's a story. I have not seen it. It just opened, I believe, last weekend. But it's, as I understand it, it's the story of, and it goes back, I don't know, 20,000 years further than that, a caveman trying to domesticate a wolf. And, of course, the dogs that we enjoy today, they're descendants from wolves, right?
That's correct. And we sort of take the pictures that, or on walls and things of the domestication of the dog to man and figure out what, you know, what that all means and then try to apply it to a movie sense. I have not seen that movie. I'd like to go to it. I do know that if you ever watch wolf programs in the present situation, they all advise you to use very, very caution because wolves are pack dogs. They can turn on a dime's notice in their attitude. So they could be friendly and jumping with joy, and in within a second or two, they could be now trying to tear out your throat area.
Now, doesn't that happen, not to say tearing out your throat, but that can happen with dogs, too, can it? I mean, there was a friend of mine some years ago who had a wonderful dog. It was a small dog, actually, and she had had it for years. It was a house dog. I don't know whether it was ever outside, to be honest with you. And one day, it just jumped at her and bit her right in the face. just kind of out of nowhere.
It'd be hard. You'd have to know the circumstances of everything that was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are dogs, and that's the reason. You could never say your dog doesn't bite, because put in a situation where the dog can't handle, he's going to bite. And so you always have to exhibit caution, and there's certain things, lowering of the ears, raising the hair on the back, their posture, the whole bit that you got to learn.
Kind of a warning sign.
Yeah, huh? To what's coming. Mm-hmm. Because they, most of the foo-foo dogs, like Pekingese and Chihuahuas and dogs like that, they're strictly a friendly dog, because the wolf part is kind of extinct in them,
mm-hmm.
but it's still there, because they do have tendencies to eat grass and do some of the things that wolves do. But the canine shepherds, Labradors, the Alaskan Malamutes all still have strong traits of wolf nature to them, and you just got to be careful.
The I've not seen the film either. Alpha, as I say, just opened, but I've seen several good reviews. I say it's a pretty good film. Didn't you tell me once, Dr. Damon, that you studied wolves,
yeah,
or did a paper or something on wolves? Or?
I was in college, and I spent my sort of weekends and free time trying to go out on where they had a couple of wolf packs, two actually, 10 in each group. I think it two died out of one, so it was eight to 10, and studied their behaviors, and you had to make yourself extinct, because they don't they know you're there.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Let's take another call. It's Ask the Veterinarian. The phone number is 283-2525. Caller, go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Yes. I scramble some eggs every morning for my dogs, and I scramble them, you know, when I cook them in a skillet with butter. I read somewhere that butter is not good for dogs. Is that true?
No. It's okay. It's fat, and it's just like, butter is not good for you either, if you eat too much of it. But if you eat modest amounts and things, it's completely harmless.
Your dogs eat scrambled eggs, caller?
Yes, I do. I make 6 eggs every morning and scramble, and I put it over top their food for the protein and everything.
Wow, I never knew dogs ate. Is that common,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People can take egg yolks, but they don't cook them. But they mm-hmm. drink egg yolks and get the protein portion out of
it. Yeah, I guess Rocky Balboa did that. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I always figured that it was better to use the real stuff, like the butter, instead of the margarine or any of that artificial stuff for
that. Yes.
That's true, yeah.
More natural it is, the better Mother Nature helps you take care of it.
What kind of dogs do you have, caller?
They're just a variety, from a border collie, large dog, to small. They're all rescues, and to a Shih Tzu, to a Chibeagle, to just everything.
You have quite a few dogs, huh?
I have 6 of them.
6? Wow.
They all get... In fact, Doc is my veterinarian, so he knows about my dogs.
They all get along with each other?
Yes, they do. They're just one big, happy little pack.
Oh, that's good. Hey, thanks for the call.
The sad part right now is I have 3 who are seniors. My oldest female, she's 16 right now, and I have 2 15-year-olds, and my other ones are young. So it's coming up on a tough period for me, because I know eventually what's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Phone number is 283-2525. It's Ask the Veterinarian today, 283-2525. That caller brings up a good point. She has two dogs that are 15, one that's 16. I'm a layperson. I don't have any veterinary knowledge here, but that's pretty old for a dog.
That's for dogs. Anything beyond 14 is old, and 16 definitely. 18, you're exceptionally good, but you could hear the stress in her when she was.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still doing well and everything, but you could hear the stress in her voice when she was talking about that they're nearing their end.
Are there certain breeds that tend to have longer lives, Dr. Dane?
No. Your bigger dogs tend to have less longevity than the smaller dogs. Because they're more prone to cancers and they don't get beyond, like the Great Dane. Mm-hmm. If you get one beyond 12 years of age, you're doing really good.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Because most Danes, they go from 9 to about 11, and before they get stressed and either develop cancers or problems with their gut, just things like that.
We had I won't get too specific here, but one of the canine officers here in Butler County, a police dog, had to be retired earlier this summer. No mention of anything really significant, but just wasn't able to perform anymore. And I guess this would, be like humans. I mean,
right.
You're not necessarily near death, but you're not at optimum efficiency like you were, when you were a teenager.
Right. I think that they try to get their canine breeds to go 5 to 7 years before they retire.
Boy, that's not very long when you think about it.
No.
All that training for a police dog, and then
they're about two when they start into the training program, and so you get 7 years. They're about nine.
Well, they do good work. It's just too bad we can't keep them around a little longer.
Yeah.
At optimum efficiency. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Ask the Veterinarian here on the It's Your Turn program today in just a moment. One of our sponsors today is Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Personalized one-on-one care with Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Your hearing will actually be measured. Your hearing aid will fit your ear. It's not one size fits all. And Kelly will take the time to make sure that everything is the way you want it. Not only from a hearing standpoint, you're able to hear better, but also comfort. I know of people who can't stand to wear their hearing aids because they hurt or they're not comfortable. Kelly is interested in helping you, not just selling you the highest price hearing aid. In fact, you'll likely save thousands because there's no overhead. And you heard that correctly, thousands of dollars. Complimentary consultation. Give her a call. See what she can do for you. People who have made the change or consulted with Kelly are so happy that they did. Here's a phone number. You can call the hearing aid lady, 724-756-4327. That's 724-756-4327. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Personalized one-on-one care. To Ask the Veterinarian here today, phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. Previous call, I was talking about adding eggs to her daily ration of dog food. I've read about some people preparing dog food from scratch themselves as opposed to, purchasing a pre-made bag or can or whatever.
They can. It's a tedious process because you got to get the vitamins, minerals, correct ones in there and things, but it can be done. You can definitely provide a good good dog food by cooking their food. It's you know, most of the time people just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It takes a lot. If you want to do it right, it takes a lot of work. Let's take another call, 283-2525, Ask the Veterinarian. Hi there, caller. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Hi, Dr. Damon. How are you?
Fine.
That's good. I have three dogs. The oldest is 10. The other two are like 3 months apart. They're not even 2 years old yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the two youngest I'm talking about, the Poggle and the other one's a Tweenie. And they play like, they have like a love-hate relationship. They play really good. They love each other. They lick each other. They lay on top of each other. But every now and then, they'll like get in a squabble. And you just like got to pull them apart or yell at them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like really kind of going at it. So do you know why that is? Or
well,
what you can do,
it's the same thing as what two kids, they could be playing and enjoying each other and things. And then all of a sudden, they're at each other's throat, you know. There's a disagreeance somehow.
Uh-huh.
And either one takes advantage of the other one. And he didn't think that that was deserving in things. And you know, they get into a tussle.
Are all of your dogs house dogs? Are they all together in the house, caller?
Yes, they're all together in the house. They're all under 30 pounds. Youngest mm-hmm. is 19 pounds. So that's what I figured. That's just like having two 2-year-olds
right
in the house.
Isn't sometimes
and one other?
Just a second.
Go
there.
Ahead.
Isn't sometimes what we might think of as fighting or aggressive behavior just dog play?
Dog play to a certain degree. They will bite each other and do a little tussle. Not to draw blood, but mm-hmm. to take it to a certain extent, then that's about the extreme that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Their playtime and things. I got a Great Dane at home and a pit bull at home. And when they get started into their playtime, you think that they're tearing each other up. I mean, but they're not. I mean, they got their mouths open. They're kind of, you can hear their jaws shutting and things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're out there just playing, jumping on each other and seeing who can knock each other down, that type of thing. I sometimes get upset because, you know, they tend to do it too much, too hard. And, so their normal sort of playtime in things is the barking at each other and then maybe nuzzling each other and grabbing a hold of the skin at the neck, but not grabbing it to the point of trying to tussle him and bite through and cause lesions.
Mm-hmm.
You had another question, mm-hmm. caller?
Yes, on the Tweenie. I noticed this about a week ago, underneath him, between his private area and his back leg, there was like a big round circle. It was red, not big, it was like a dime size, and it was red.
Mm-hmm.
And then that redness went away, and then it was just like a circle there, just see the outline of a circle.
He probably was outside
when
that occurred, or, I mean, he had a tendency to be outside when that when you saw that happen, when he came back in the house. And it's either an insect bite that bit them, and sometimes you even see a bullseye ring where it's got a little center mm-hmm. Hemorrhage, and then the outline area about half of an inch from the center is a circle. And you'd think, wow, that's Lyme's disease. But no, that's some sort of insect that maybe bit them.
Yeah.
And that's their reaction.
That's why, Yeah, it was smooth. That's why I wondered. There was no bump there or anything. And I'm like, that's a little odd. And I thought, well, since you're on, I would ask you.
That's a good question. Yeah. Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I guess just like, you know, we can be out. I was sitting out on the patio a couple of nights ago. I got a mosquito bite, you know. I looked down. I saw the mosquitoes, matter of fact. And then, you know, I have temporary irritation there.
Mm-hmm.
Goes away.
Right.
And as far as dogs, every once in a while getting into it, I suppose it's kind of like having a pillow fight with your brother once in a while whenever you...
Yeah, and somebody whacks them too much, and then you get the big thing. Maybe they do fight a little bit, but it's all kind of tempered, I think.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Back with more. Ask the Veterinarian. If you have questions or comments, feel free to join us, 283-2525. Here on It's Your Turn on WISI. We'll be back after this message.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
I saw a story on the wire a month or so ago, Dr. Damon, about, and it was a pet food manufacturer here in western Pennsylvania. And I didn't realize that certain pet food manufacturers actually put together several different brands, several different brand names. Mm-hmm. They're all, you know, they're like all made at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that happens with beer, too. And a lot of human foods, I guess I should expect it in dog food plants.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah. Different formulation, perhaps.
Right.
You know,
and they make sometimes they make a superior food that's a good quality food, and then they have lesser quality of the food in categories to, you know, please the demand of the public.
Mm-hmm. Some of it, you know, they advertise it almost like it's a gourmet food. Is it worth the extra price? Or are they just trying to...
I would try to keep your cost price of your food for dogs in the medium range.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to buy the most expensive food, and don't buy the,
cheapest
food. But if you go in the mid range and things... you generally can get a good quality food.
Let's take another call. Let's ask the veterinarian today. The phone number is 283-2525. Caller, go right ahead. You're on the air with the veterinarian, Dr. Dennis Damon.
Hello. I have a West Highland Terrier, and she's 14 years old in April. And right now, she's getting a lot of, like, age bumps, and they're mostly around her head, and her face.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything you can do with those things?
They're probably warts occurring. They're a virus that kind of entered the system, and instead of going through its normal pathways... like a virus that caused diarrhea, it went through the skin and formed a wart. Most of the time in poodles is the most prevalent dog that has those warts. Cockers are another breed that have warts at older age. They generally don't do anything except that when the dog starts to bother them, lick them, chew at them and things, they become irritated and they start to ooze, and that's when you got to remove them. Otherwise, if they're the wart variety, and you should maybe ask your veterinarian next time you take him there to whether they are warts or whether they are some sort of tumor that could be growing, that's always a possibility.
Some kind of a what?
Tumor. cancer.
Oh, okay.
So you want to ask him and make sure that he says, well, what I see most likely is a wart and several warts on your dog.
You said, caller, that your West Highland Terrier is 14 years old. Is that right?
Yes, she is.
Uh-huh. More prone to get these wart things the older a dog is, doctor?
The older they get, the more warts that are getting involved. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got one big one right by her eye, and I have to keep watching that she doesn't scratch it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably get it looked at the next time you take your dog to the vet. Probably a good idea.
Yes, okay, I will then. Thank you very much.
All right. Sure. You have a nice day.
Hope we set our mind at ease a little bit there. That's a good question. Yeah. Ask the veterinarian today, 283-2525, 283-2525. Gosh, we've concentrated almost exclusively on dogs here today.
Mm-hmm.
We should mention cat lovers. You know, there's a lot of cat lovers out there, too. You need to take your cat to the veterinarian on a regular basis as well.
And they get the same occurrence, same vaccine, not dog vaccine, but the mm-hmm. cat variety. We always, when kittens come in, we are concerned about feline immunodeficiency virus and feline leukemia virus. And we generally check them for that and make sure that they're negative, because if they're positive, that's a whole different game, and the owner should know that up front. They go through the same vaccines, rabies, and distemper that the dogs do.
Let's take another call, 283-2525. Hi, caller. Go right ahead. You're on the Hello. Air with Dr. Damon. Go right ahead.
I have a question, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to his comment.
Okay.
All these activities that they have downtown and people bring all their dogs, is that healthy for the dogs being around all the people, and if they would bite somebody or when the dogs go after another dog? I don't know why people have to bring all their dogs down, especially when the weather is hot.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to listen.
Good question, good question. Dr. Damon, any comments there?
Well, I think it's just like this is a free world. You get to mm-hmm. do what you want. If you want to take your pet out and go places and things, but if you practice good hygiene with your pet, meaning if you go down and take it, and if it defecates, you clean up that part. You just don't leave it there mm-hmm. and let other dogs get exposed to it, because that's a hygiene type thing, and they could get.
I have seen events where they advertised, please leave your dog at home. Sometimes they get very crowded. There are other animals.
Right.
And if you have big dogs, I know I was at a festival one time where I was almost knocked over by a large Labrador who had seen another dog and went a little bit crazy. And, it was all I could do to stand up.
Yeah. You don't ever know whether that dog's going to treat the next dog coming by. And I've seen instances where during a flea market or things like that, people bring their pets and walk them through. And the next thing you know, they're letting dogs sniff at each other and things. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, you see the shackles and things raise up.
The warning signs.
The warning signs. Yeah. The other thing is, most of the time, the children don't know or aren't aware of how distrusting animals can be, because mm-hmm. they run right up to their face and pet. They don't ask questions and say, can I pet your dog? They will run right in, and some of these animals can do some bodily harm. So.
And, of course, for the animals, looking at it from their perspective, they're in a different situation. This mm-hmm. is something new with all these people all around and crowded in, and so got to think about that, too. Boy, we had a lot of great questions today. Dr. Damon, it's always good to talk to you. I always learn something when you're here.
Well, that's good. If you learn one thing a day, you're doing good.
And we thank our listeners for the great questions as well. Once again, Dr. Dennis Damon's practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic. That's a Route 8 south of Butler. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. If you're headed south for Butler and you pass the all the auto dealerships, start looking because it's right there on the left-hand side, intersection of Route 8 south and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon, see you next time.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Sure. More to come on It's Your Turn. We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, this should be an interesting discussion, I think. I've had this happen to me. Do you have dead zones in your home with regard to your Wi-Fi? You know? So what's the matter? Is your router gone bad? You need a bigger router? You need a... We're going to need a bigger boat. I don't know. Or I guess there are certain parts of the home that where you're more likely to see this, have a dead zone. And in times gone by, it wasn't too much of a problem. And nowadays, we have so many devices that are dependent on Wi-Fi. And particularly if you've got teenagers in the family, they're likely to be, on Snapchat or Facebook or something else, or watching TV in a second or third store bedroom. And, they're streaming. There's a lot more demand for the Wi-Fi. So we'll talk about Wi-Fi dead zones coming up in just a moment here. We'll be chatting with Jeffrey Parker. And still to come later on the program today, novelist David Moffat discussing his novel, The Misbirth. So stick around. There's more to come on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk with Jeff Parker about Wi-Fi dead zones.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ever have a problem with your Wi-Fi, listeners at home? Well, maybe we can help you with that here on the next segment of It's Your Turn on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us by telephone. He is Jeffrey Parker, also known as the Wi-Fi Guru. Jeffrey Parker, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So people experience this. I know. Sometimes you just don't have the best Wi-Fi reception in certain parts of your home. What's happening there, Jeffrey?
Well, the technology for Wi-Fi has really advanced in the last couple of years. And so there's some exciting ways that homeowners can bring Wi-Fi to almost any place in their home, even their yard, back porch, pool area that they'd like to get it to.
So what can you do? Do you have to get a new router? Do you have to get a fancy, really expensive router or what?
Well, it depends on the age of the router. But assuming you have a reasonably current router, and I'll say reasonably current is in the last few years, there are products now that you can actually attach a little box wirelessly to your existing Wi-Fi. So let's say that you've got Wi-Fi and it only covers half of your home, and you want to get the other half covered. You can connect a wireless link from a little box you can buy that will attach to your existing Wi-Fi, and then it will take that Wi-Fi further and distribute it to the rest of your home. And depending upon how many square feet you're trying to cover, you might need only one box, you might need two, three. Some of these systems can go up to 10, 12 boxes if you desire. But the nice thing is the way the technology's advanced is, unlike the old boosters and repeaters that I know a lot of people tried and weren't happy with, these don't really degrade your data rates, clutter your home with extra signals that interfere with other things. These are really elegant solutions.
This is a problem that has grown significantly worse over the past few years. Jeff, I can remember the first time I bought a router, it was for one purpose. I wanted to be able to listen to my internet radio in the bedroom, and my PC and everything was in the study. So I got a router. It's a pretty inexpensive one. Nowadays, though, with everything that's available on smart TVs and on phones and everything else, you need a router just about anywhere in the house, right?
Well, you do. I mean, you know, I don't remember the exact number for the average of connected devices in the home today, but it's many. By the time you think about smart TVs, as you mentioned, people are now putting in wirelessly controlled thermostats so you can change the temperature and the times that it goes to different settings. Wall plugs that can be plugged into your existing electrical outlet that would control lamps and other devices. We've all seen the commercials for the guy who comes to the front door and you can see who's there even though you're not home. A lot of that's Wi-Fi. I mean, Wi-Fi is being used for connectivity all over the home. And so, yeah, people want Wi-Fi, I think, to be as ubiquitously available in their home as electricity now. And so they're looking to get it spread around every place that they need to use it.
I understand that it's a good idea to keep your router away from anything metal. Is that true, and why so, Jeffrey?
Well, it is true. Wireless radio signals, which is what the Wi-Fi is based on, will not penetrate metal. So if you want to give your Wi-Fi the best possible performance it can achieve, you don't want to block those radio signals. And sometimes, even though it's not in front of the Wi-Fi with metal, even if it's just sitting on metal devices, that metal can create influences on the radio signals that will degrade how far they can go. So if possible, keep it away from metal. Don't put it on metal. Certainly don't put metal in front of it. You know, Wi-Fi signals will go through sheetrock walls. It'll go through reasonable stucco walls. But when you get to metal or glass that has a lot of lead in it, good windows, that can also play havoc on Wi-Fi signals.
If you live in an apartment building or a duplex, or even in a crowded urban neighborhood where there's a bunch of houses really close together, that can create problems for your router and your Wi-Fi. Why is that, Jeffrey?
Well, there's only so much availability on the Wi-Fi channels. So the nice thing about Wi-Fi is when the standard was created years and years ago, it was contemplated that there'd be lots of users, and these users wouldn't all coordinate with each other. You'd have neighbors, apartment complexes like you described. So just the Wi-Fi standard by itself will coordinate among a lot of these different users. However, there's only so much availability. And so if everybody's using Wi-Fi, it does tend to slow it down, and it can even get so bad that it'll block it. You can't even get on. The solution for that is, if you're in that situation, get the latest router possible, because the latest units have enough bandwidth for sharing that Wi-Fi signal, because it has the latest standards, that even crowded apartment environments, you'll still get a decent Wi-Fi signal. I've been in situations where I can see 50 to 100 other separate Wi-Fi routers, and I still, with the latest routers, will get a good Wi-Fi signal.
Does it say anything on the box whenever you're considering purchasing a new router about how powerful it is, or how many devices that you can have connected to it at the same time? Is there a way to tell that before you buy it?
You know, what I would look for is the latest standard is what's called 802.11. 802.11 is the engineering term for Wi-Fi. 802.11 AC, like Apple Charlie. If that Wi-Fi device comes with 802.11 AC, you will have the latest and greatest that you can get on Wi-Fi. Now, there's another thing you can look for, and that is what's called MIMO. MIMO means multiple input, multiple output, meaning there's more than one antenna. There's multiple antennas. You may not be able to see them. A lot of these products, the antennas are inside. You can't see them. But if it comes with MIMO, at least what's called 2x2 MIMO, 2x2, 2x2 MIMO, and it has 802.11ac, you're going to have really good chance of having a very nice solution. And those devices with those capabilities today are not expensive. So that would be my recommendation, is look for 802.11ac and 2x2 MIMO.
My current router has two prongs that stick up, one on either side. They flip up. I assume that's two antennas. Is that right?
Yes, but that might not necessarily be MIMO. That could just be what's called diversity, meaning that you have two antennas separated by a certain amount of distance. And what that allows the box you have to do is to pick the best signal from those two antennas. And they're spaced in such a way that if one has a low signal, there's a high probability that the other one has a better signal. But that's not necessarily MIMO. That is a good solution just below a MIMO solution, but probably not MIMO.
We're talking, listeners, if you joined us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn, we're talking with Jeffrey Parker, who is the co-founder of Parker Vision and one of the editors of the Milo Wi-Fi blog. He's also known as the Wi-Fi guru, and I think you can tell from our conversation so far that that's a pretty well-earned title. Let's talk about rebooting the router. Should you do that regularly, and why, Jeffrey?
Well, Dave, that's a good question. The old routers used to have to be rebooted sometimes almost daily. I don't know if anybody remembers maybe 10 or 15 years ago, these things would just stop working, and you'd have to unplug them and plug them back in. They'd boot back up, and away you'd go. Today, that's a lot less of a problem. The circuits in those products tend to monitor for whether the performance is operational or not. But if you end up with a situation that your internet speed, for some reason, looks like it's slow, or you don't have connectivity at all, even though it says that you're connected, then I would recommend to unplug your router, plug it back in. It could be a variety of reasons that happens. It may not even have anything to do with your router. It could be that there's a communication glitch between your router and the box that your internet service provider put in, which brings the internet to your home. And those two have to, you know, have gotten out of step and they have to resync. So there's a lot of possibilities, but you shouldn't have to reboot. But if you do have those problems, then that would be the first thing I would do. And that only takes a few minutes.
You say that if you're still using a dinosaur router from the early 2000s, Jeffrey, it's hard for me to think of something in the early 2000s as being a dinosaur, for goodness sakes. But Wi-Fi technology has advanced exponentially since then. So if your router is that old, it's probably time for an upgrade, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you just think about the two things we discussed, this 802.11ac and the MIMO technology, 10 years ago, that would have been considered million-dollar, military-grade wireless communications. This is what people who have ultimate reliable communications in terrible situations relied upon. Today, that's now found its way into these consumer products for literally, you know, a few tens of dollars on a low-end router and maybe $100 on a medium, and you can spend hundreds and hundreds on more expensive ones, but you don't have to. But it's literally advanced that fast. And I would say that the march continues on because we have this insatiable appetite for more bandwidth, because every time we give more bandwidth, we find new things to do with it. And whether it's streaming 4K high-definition television or multiple televisions at the same time, there's always going to be additional, you know, it's the build it and they will come syndrome. So I think you're going to see Wi-Fi continue moving along and advancing more distance, more data rate speeds, better reliability. All those things are continuing to improve. And I wouldn't be surprised in 7 to 10 years from now, we'll look back at what we're talking about today as the latest and greatest and say, oh, that was woefully slow, not as reliable. And the nice thing, though, is it's not too expensive, so you don't have to think about spending thousands of dollars that's obsolete in just a few years.
It wasn't all that long ago that many families had just one TV in the living room. That is hardly the case anymore.
Look, I used to change my television when I was a kid with a can opener because the dial knob broke. That shows you how old I am. So, yes, I can relate to that, unfortunately.
Which is more effective, Jeffrey Parker, buying a faster internet service from your provider or getting a new router?
Well, that's a great question. It's a little bit of a chicken and an egg question. The fact is, first you have to say, what am I doing with my internet service? If all you're doing is email, a little bit of text messaging on your phone, you know, that type of thing, relatively low data rate, then your internet service provider speed may be fine. And then it may become more important to get that signal into places you'd like to use it that you can't currently get to. And that would say maybe get a better router. Or you could get, there's new products out there that can take an existing signal from a router and distribute them all over your home, into your garage, back into your backyard, into attic space, places that maybe you currently can't reach. That could be an option. However, if you're into doing a lot of smart home things, maybe you're into the Internet of Things devices in your home, you want to connect to smart TVs, you've got lots of bandwidth that you want to spread around, then it may very well be time to upgrade to a new router. But again, as I mentioned earlier, that doesn't necessarily mean you've got to spend a ton of money. There are some pretty nice routers out there today for less than $100 that'll give you good data rates and decent distance. And those, again, can be attached to these new devices, which can take whatever the router does and make it reach even further so that you can have an entire home connected to Wi-Fi.
Let's talk, as we begin to wrap up here, talk again about these dead zones in the home. Bathroom would be a typical place. Upper stories or basements of a home, that would be potentially a problem too, Jeffrey?
It is, and you know, usually the dead zones are a function of two things. Oftentimes, the Wi-Fi, which is attached to your internet device, is on one side of the home because that's where the cable comes into your home. And so the farther you get away from that box, the less likely it is you're going to get Wi-Fi. So it could be on the other side of the home. It could be the basement, as you described, or maybe your Wi-Fi comes into the basement through the internet and you can't get it on the second floor or the third floor. Maybe you want to get it out by a pool area, and because we mentioned earlier, windows and other things will block the signal. You need to get it out there. There's lots of places people want to use Wi-Fi. I reside in Florida, and lots of people now have remote control of pool pumps and other devices that they're using Wi-Fi. But how do you get the Wi-Fi all the way out to the pool pump? So there's lots of places people want to get Wi-Fi today, and a lot of it just is too far away from the router, wherever that's located, to reach these devices.
It occurs to me that some more modern buildings are constructed with metal framing. In other words, you know, we used to use tubifores to build a wall. In some cases, construction now uses aluminum, so-called 2x4s. Could that affect your router, Jeffrey?
It can. However, if what's between those metal studs or 2x4s is still sheetrock, traditional sheetrock, you should be in okay shape. So that's not really an issue. It's only if those metal studs were then covered with metal on the walls, then you'd have a real problem.
Where?
And you can solve that problem, but that starts to get a little bit more expensive.
Where can listeners go to get more info about what we've been discussing? I guess they could check your blog, right?
They can check our blog at milowifi.com, absolutely. And we've got lots of common conversation on that blog about all kinds of handy topics that I think people will find useful. And, just the Internet in general today has a lot of great conversation going on about how to get the most out of your Wi-Fi. But our blog at milowifi.com is a good starting point.
By the way, Jeffrey Parker holds over 40 U.S. patents covering various innovations in wireless technology. Over 40 patents, Jeffrey. Wow.
It's been a busy time, and we feel very fortunate to be living in a country where you can do this type of innovation. So, I think we're real blessed to be living in this time in the United States. It's a great opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you sharing some of this information with us. For lots of us, you know, who aren't really well-versed in this, it kind of makes our eyes glaze over. So we appreciate you helping us straighten it out a little bit.
Well, Dave, listen, I appreciate you having me on the program. And, you know, if you want me to come back on some other time and expand the conversation, I'd be happy to do it. It's been fun.
It's a deal. It's a deal. Jeffrey Parker, the Wi-Fi guru. Thanks, Jeffrey. Nice to talk with you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
And you.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 6363. The pick 3 is 982982. The pick 4 is 8648. The pick 5, 40724. Wild ball for each of those is 9. The treasure hunt, 2, 7, 17, 18, and 25. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $43,000.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart. Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Talking about a new novel, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey, and our guest is David Moffat, author of The Miss Birth. David, nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Dave, and I first of all want to just thank you for spending this time with me. I very much appreciate it, and I just want you to know that.
Well, that's one of the things we look for on this program, especially in the summertime. People like summer reading, so we look for a good novel every once in a while. And your novel, Miss Birth, touches on quite a few themes, actually, but the main one seems to be fate and the role of fate in our lives. Can you talk about that a little bit, David?
Sure, Dave. When I started writing The Miss Birth, my intention was to write a sort of a fast-paced novel that would appeal to a wide swath of the reading public. And I thought, what better topic to touch on than fate? And by that I simply mean, Dave, who amongst us at one point or another in their life has not been touched by the hand of fate, meaning you can be walking down the street, minding your own business, obeying all the rules, and then suddenly, through no fault of your own, you find yourself confronted with a situation or circumstance that you have absolutely no control over, and yet you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Well, your main character, Logan Spence, is certainly a complex character, and he's been the victim of fate, right? Circumstances that he did not choose as he came into this world.
Well, that is true, actually. Dave, Logan was not even supposed to come into this world, but again, fate intervened because his mother's pregnancy was not supposed to come to fruition, and yet the physician who was going to perform the procedure took it upon himself to induce birth and present the baby boy to his wife. And they were both middle-aged at the time. They were unable to conceive. And so they raised the baby boy as their own.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about Logan. He actually leads a double life, does he not?
In a certain respect, yes. But again, getting back quickly, the first thing that the character notices is the age of his parents. In other words, he you know, his friends, you know, Johnny's mom is 40-ish, and his mom is touching 70. And yeah. Although he does not consciously confront it, but again, it sets him apart. It just so the circumstances that he finds himself in, for example, the town that his parents live in is a very rich town, but his parents themselves don't have any money. The physician inherited the house from his parents or something along those lines. But I mean, that sets him apart. When he gets to ninth grade and all his friends go off to prestigious boarding schools, he finds himself heading off to the public high school where he is targeted from day one because of the junior high school he attended.
And
it goes from there.
Any connection with your life? Is there any touch of semi-autobiographical stuff in here?
Yes. Yes, there is, but, Dave, with a literary embellishment, if you will. That's it. But, no, I have a lot of the experiences that Logan encounters in the Misbirth. Yours truly kind of went down the same path.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk a lot in the novel about how young men deal with the challenges of the teen years. That was a problem for folks generations ago, and it still is today. In fact, I shudder to think of what it's like today for young boys in their mid-teens.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, in the case of Logan, his first strike was from the because of the junior high he attended. The rest of the children there, or teenagers, whatever, had gone to two different junior highs, and they already knew one another, and they had one common foe, which would be anybody from the junior high school that Logan had attended. So that in itself was the first strike. And the second strike was the fact that he, as I experienced their, he experiences his adolescent growing spurt at almost the age of 15, which means that he spent almost the first 2 years of high school at the height of 5'3" tall, yes. Which is not a fun experience for a guy, especially if he's quote unquote marked by the other guys. But in a more general sense, I can't really speak for women, but for guys, the age differential between, let's say, 14 and 18 is just vast. I mean, it's two different periods of life.
Your book also has some strong commentary on marriage and fidelity. Can you talk about that a little bit, David?
Well, I basically, in terms of fidelity, I can only go by one word, and that's Cynthia, my wife. We met when we were teenagers, and I knew immediately that that would be the only woman I'd ever want in my life. And I also knew that if I had any shot at her at all, which, you know, was hit and miss, but, you know, I'd have to clean up my act, literally. Mm-hmm. And I did so, and I am pleased to report, Dave, that 40 years later, we are still happily fighting ever after.
Oh, that's terrific, yeah. A quick break, listeners. We'll talk for a few more minutes with our guest, David Moffat, author of a new novel entitled The Misbirth. We'll be back right after these words. Here's a few ideas about how to get out of town for a while and recharge your batteries. That's right, vacation trip ideas from Butler Motor Tours on South Monroe Street in Butler. They're taking another trip down to see the Ark Encounter. Just across the Ohio River from Cincinnati, you'll visit the Ark Encounter, a new attraction, a full-size Noah's Ark built according to the dimensions given in the Bible. That's in early October. There's also a trip you can take a bus and then eventually to Bermuda. Get details on that at their website, butlerbus.com. Lots of day trips, too. One to Cross Creek Resort and a ride on the Titusville Railroad in early October, And at holiday time, light up night on the Gateway Clipper or a visit to Ogle Bay Park and the Festival of Lights. Check out all of their offerings online at butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Welcome back. If you're just joining us on It's Your Turn on this segment, we're chatting with author David Moffat. His new novel is entitled The Miss Birth. You had a previous novel as well. What was the title of that one, David?
Dave, that was entitled Beltway Justice, A Tale of Political Civility, which I'm getting a kick out of today. I wrote that about 5 years ago, Dave. And it's a political satire that centers on what some people call today the swamp, but our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And the thrust of the book is essentially our nation's capital is essentially a private country club reserved for members only. And you and I, the American people, are merely inconveniences that they have to deal with every 2, 4, or 6 years.
Your scenes of violence are sometimes pretty graphic, but many of your sex scenes are just mentioned without a whole lot of detail. Did you do that on purpose? How would you compare that with other forms of mass media today?
Well, that was intentional on my part, Dave. And the scenes of violence, basically street violence, I depicted very graphically, and I did so because I concluded that the majority of readers, hopefully, have never gone through that kind of violence. And therefore, I thought if I drew more of a graphic picture of it, it might help to dissuade anybody even trying to get involved, well, or avoiding any sort of confrontation that might result in that kind of violence. As far as the sex scenes are concerned, I kind of went Hitchcockian on that one, Dave. I think unlike violence, most of the readers have probably experienced sex. And as such, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the sex scenes, I think the more graphic, the duller they become. I think you know, what happens behind closed doors should be left to the imagination of the reader. I think that proves to be a far more sensual experience.
A few of your characters remain unscathed models in your novel, The Miss Birth. And really, that's reflective of most people in real life, don't you think, David?
Well, I don't want to speak for, you know, humanity, if you will, Dave. But you see, in the characters in The Miss Birth, essentially, all are dealing with fate, and the results of their actions is because of fate. And for them, their attitude is, "Hey, I didn't create this situation, therefore, I'm not responsible for my actions as a result of this situation," which leads to trouble, confrontation, and ultimate calamity.
Was this a tough write, David, The Miss Birth?
Not at all, Dave. It's so funny because when I sat down to, or actually when I began the process of The Miss Birth, I thought it might be, but it wasn't. In fact, I found myself becoming a little bit too objective when it came to some of the characters and some of the situations, which is good news because that means that I am completely divorced from that entire scene, if you will.
Where can we find your book, Dave? It's published by Beach House Books. Am I correct on that?
Yes, it is. And you, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual suspects, Dave. You know, it's pretty much out there everywhere.
The title of
and by the way...
Yes.
I'm just going to mention that any wholesaler, bookstore, or whatnot that would be interested, There's a very, very steep discount for wholesale purchases for bookstores. I just wanted to include that for anybody in the area who might be interested.
The title of the novel is The Miss Birth by David DeMoffitt, who's been our guest here on It's Your Turn for the last few minutes. David, nice to meet you. Nice to chat with you today.
Dave, the pleasure was all mine, and I don't mean that in a trite sense.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye now.
So long.
Coffee with Kate and Dave Malarkey, weekday mornings after the 8 a.m. news. On